She's solo maintenance. Don't need no champagne, poppin' entertainment. Take her to Wendy's, can't keep her off me. She wanna dip me like them fries in a frosty. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta spoil my baby with an upgrade. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top two. Two straws, one check, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. Squeaking in the truck bed all the way home. Some Alabama jam, she my Dixieland delight. That's how we do, fancy like.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sandhills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with David Hensley this morning from the school board. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everyone.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on a live audio stream. That's available to you from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com or weeb990.com. Top middle of the home page is where it's located. Top right hand corner. Just go up there and click it. If it doesn't work right away, well, try the player at the bottom of the page for those browsers that want to be stubborn. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. It's going to be sunny today, 58 for a high. Clear tonight, 34. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, 64. Thursday night, small chance of rain. Look for a low around 50. And Friday, still a chance of rain, mainly in the afternoon. High of 66. Over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, clear, sunny. 58 Saturday, 59 Sunday, and Monday 72, 74 on Tuesday. Is that it for winter? Is that the best it's going to do? Okay, right now around the Sand Hills, winds are calm basically, northeast at 1 officially. Pressure is 30-40, steady. Dew point 29, humidity 87%. It is sunny and 32 degrees currently here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. All right, as I said, David Hensley with the school board in here, and we've been trying to get many school boards as we can in here to talk, and David's been on many times before. All right, David. I don't want to go the negative route of picking apart the school board, because y'all do a lot of good. You got grades up, which is hard to do these days because parents just don't get involved like they should. People look like they just crawled out of bed, grabbed the first wrinkled thing on the floor and threw it on and went to school.
Well, getting the academic grades up was simple. It was as simple as jettisoning the failed strategic, you know, Moore County Schools had a woke strategic plan which governed Moore County Schools for 8 years. So it governed it from 2016 to 2023. And under the previous board, with Pam Thompson's leadership, we jettisoned the failed strategic plan because the conservatives on the board made the case that, you could graph it out. Moore County Schools was humming along just fine, and in 2016, somewhere around there, they implemented the what's now the failed strategic plan, and then there was just an immediate drop-off of grades because they replaced, when they adopted that failed strategic plan, they abandoned recognition of academic merit, and they put the ideology and identity politics above recognizing academic merit. So fixing the academic portion was actually fairly easy because we always had the right teachers, we always had the right team. The problem was there was a woke strategic plan, there was a lack of discipline. And we had
Was coming from the school board.
It was 100%. So there were three things that conspired to lower academic scores. There was the woke strategic plan, which governed Moore County schools, which was passed by the previous school board, like two school boards ago. There was the lack of student discipline, and that was just a core number of students. You know, you take care of the serious disruptors, everyone else falls into place. And then there was a third thing. Anyway, those things were actually easily an ineffective or ideologically driven administrators, which needed to be replaced. I mean, we had principals who had been in charge of schools for 6 or 8 years that continued to decline. And we had administrators who were, demonstrably spending 40 to 70% more on construction projects than we should have. Those are the people we replaced. And once we replaced the ineffective or ideologically driven administrators, replaced them with truly qualified people intensely focused on education, once we restored student discipline, and once we jettisoned that failed strategic plan and told our teachers and told our administrators that it's academics first, then everything else fell into place. And all of that was done prior to this school board taking office. We got rid of critical race theory. That's because Ed Dennison introduced, if you remember, the first attempt to get rid of critical race theory in our schools was defeated 4-3, and the people were so outraged that they started lobbying Ed Dennison and other legacy school board members, and the pressure from the people was so great that Ed Dennison turned around and introduced a parental bill of rights, which we passed under the previous school board 4-3. So anyway, look, you win the Super Bowl by blocking and tackling. You get to the Super Bowl by blocking and tackling, and that's what we did academically. Is we jettisoned the failed strategic plan, we restored student discipline, and we got rid of ineffective or ideologically driven high level administrators and replaced them with people focused on academics. And what do you know? The students are fine. The students are, they reacted, and the remaining staff is reacting, and our grades are improving as a result.
What about dress code? I've heard rumors that some people are calling for it.
Just as recent as last week, board member Benway stood up and called for school uniforms yet again. So let's talk about that. As part of the failed strategic plan that governed, it was woke, and it governed Moore County schools for 8 years. And it talked about cultural sensitivity, and we have to be culturally sensitive. And the word was out that there are some things that, well, unfortunately, I can't talk about it because, anyway, look, we went 8 years for various reasons without enforcing our dress code. And the plan was, let's start enforcing our dress code. And Superintendent Locklear started enforcing our dress code, but certain board members felt that was not enough. So we ended up wasting a tremendous amount of time and effort, even stood up a committee to explore school uniforms, did surveys. The public was overwhelmingly against school uniforms. I've never seen anything like it. First of all, the response to the survey was overwhelming. Generally, Moore County Schools does a survey, and we're lucky to get 100 people to respond to a survey. I forgot the response rate, but it was like 3,000 or 4,000 people responded. It was like 20 times more, maybe 40 times more than normal. And it was it was different groups. There were parents, there was one group, faculty and staff, and students, there were four groups, and then members of the community at large. So there's parents, faculty and staff, students, and citizens at large. And all of them were 80%+ against uniforms. So look, the people have spoken.
Well, you didn't have to have uniforms. You could have, I know when I went to school, men had to wear long pants. And it could be jeans or it could be slacks.
Well,
but and a dress shirt with a collar.
So we can address the dress code, but the first important step was, after 8 years of, for various reasons, not enforcing the dress code at all, let's start off and let's enforce the dress code for an academic year. Let's see how it goes, and then let's make adjustments to the dress code. But instead, you know, they went hog wild and dove right into the swimming pool, which had no water in it, and dove face first in an empty swimming pool. And it turned out 85% of the public did not want school uniforms.
Well, I wouldn't want uniforms either, just a basic level of decency.
Sure, 100%. Look, if you come to the schoolhouse, you need to act like you're in the schoolhouse, and a dress code is an important part of that.
My dad always said, if you want to be somebody, look like somebody.
Right. Yeah, 100%. People need to learn that. But anyway, for whatever reason, the board wanted to spend months and time and effort exploring a school uniforms, but that went down in flames.
So, what needs finishing that you got started the first go round, but haven't reached the finish line yet?
That is a good point. If you don't mind, I'll step back and ask that in a little bigger context. I will say that I had zero intention of running for re-election. I was going to be very happy to do four and done, and then sit back and say, "Look at all these reforms we did. Let's look at, you know, the fiscal reforms we put in. Let's look at the sensible construction. Let's look at the return to focus on academics. Let's look at, I mean, my God, we returned the spelling bee. We returned the previous school board did away with valedictorians and salutatorians as part of their failed strategic plan.
Yeah, because
and
of me, you slipped in the, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Right, right. We should do that. That should be a fundraiser. That used to be a fundraiser in Moore County schools. If you go back 15 years, they used to have a contest called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And it was a big fundraiser, and elected officials would and it was students against elect. That's the sort of stuff we should be doing to garner attention on academics and garner excitement. But anyway, we did all these great things. We got rid of the horrible fights. We saved tremendous amounts on construction. We replaced the failed strategic plan. We got rid of ineffective administrators. We restored student, you don't see these fight videos anymore. But let's talk about what's left undone, and there's a tremendous amount. But before we go there, there's a little bridge we need to talk about, and that is the reorganization of the board to make it to... put it politely, but if you look at in the December meeting, the school board, I was in Ukraine at the time, so I dialed in for the closed session, but I didn't participate in the other meeting because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning in Ukraine. But they published, the school board published 45 things that your school board did, 44, I guess. And a couple important things about this. These are great accomplishments, but 90% of these accomplishments were done before the current school board took office. Most of them were done, the replacement of the strategic plan, the authorization for expanding the SROs. 90% of this was done under the previous school board or within a couple months of your new school board coming into office. Then all those reforms stopped. And instead, they decided to focus on things rather than pushing through meaningful financial reforms and continue the increase in academics. Your school board stopped being a reform-minded school board, and they started focusing on things like school board-initiated book challenges. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And school uniforms, they put everything on the consent agenda. They stopped having open discussion and debates. They put everything on the consent agenda. And I'll give you an example. We have about, I'll put a number to it, about $350 million, maybe more, of school construction that we need to do in the coming 10 years. I don't have time to go into detail, maybe in a few minutes, but we have, say, $350 million worth of school construction that we need to, that we're going to have to do in the coming decade.
is one of those another high school?
It is.
Over there at Sand Hills?
It is. Our high schools are overcrowded. We're actually good elementary through middle schools. We need a new middle school. You know, obviously we need to renovate some existing schools. But as far as capacity, we're actually good for elementary and middle schools. Our high schools are horribly overcrowded. But here's my point. We should be engaging the public, and we should be getting input from all the stakeholders on these projects. And stakeholders include the county commissioners. They certainly include the taxpayers and the citizens of Moore County. But here's what your school board did, and here's why I've become a critic of this school board, and here's why I'm running for re-election. So the school board, in the January meeting, you can look this up, the school board on Friday before the meeting, they published the agenda, and on that agenda were the board priorities for the 10-year spending plan. So there were the board priorities for spending $350 million. That was released on a Friday. That was the first time the public had seen that, was on a Friday in January. The following Monday is the rare time that Moore County Schools has both the work session and the business meeting on the same day. So they supposedly discussed that on Monday during the work session. They discussed it for 27 minutes. I went back and watched the video. Then they passed it on the consent agenda later that day. So let's talk about what your school board did, and this is disgusting. This is repugnant, and the members of the public should not accept this. Your school board, just last January, they introduced that this had not been publicly seen outside of a committee meeting. They introduced $350+ million worth of school construction spending on a Friday. They discussed it for 27 minutes during a business session, and that really wasn't a discussion. That was just someone going through the points. There was no discussion and debate. Then not a single school board member had a single question on $350 million worth of spending the first time they saw it. And then several hours later, they passed it on the consent agenda. There was zero input to that from the county commissioners. There was zero input on that from the public. That is not the way any governing body should be run. And that's why I'm running for re-election. And I'll tell you, because the school board did great things. The first 3 years I was on the school board, by God, look at these accomplishments. No school board in North Carolina has done this, but then it got hijacked. And we went from the most reform-minded, effective, conservative school boards to doing exactly what we criticized our opposition from doing when we ran against them. You know, everything worked out in, you know, the proverbial smoke-filled rooms, nothing discussed in public, and everything passed on the consent agenda. And I'm against that. I believe in open discussion and debate, and that's why I'm running for re-election. But to answer your question, we've got some serious problems coming up, and we're going to talk about those. So let me answer your question this way, Steve. So one of the things I talked about that the board had done, which is not good, is the board challenged books. And look, we can have a discussion whether these books were offensive or not and whether those books should be removed. But let's go back 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, but 10 years or so ago, when the left staged their coup of the school board, here's why that happened, and here's how that happened, is 10 years or so ago, the school board decided they wanted to get rid of the then current superintendent. You remember that? And there's a right way and there's a wrong way to get rid of the superintendent. And I'm not going to discuss whether, you know, the merits of that. That's a whole different conversation as whether the then current superintendent needed to go. But here's what they did. The reason why they were unsuccessful and the reason why that school board ended up all resigning was because they didn't choose the right way to get rid of the superintendent. They chose the wrong way. And because they chose the wrong way on how to get rid of that superintendent, they got sued. They got threatened to get sued. Legislation was introduced. But the point was, there was a right way to get rid of the superintendent. There was a wrong way. They chose the wrong way. They got sued, and most of the school board had to resign. It's the same thing with removing these books in Moore County schools. Is the book challenges, they came from a board member rather than a member of the public. In fact, members of the public can no longer, unless you have a child in attending Moore County schools, this school board took away your right to challenge books in the schools.
Who put them in there?
The books got there various ways. Some were donations. Most of the offensive books, because that was looked into, most of the offensive books were got into our libraries through bulk purchases through the people that do the book fairs.
Right.
But anyway, they were part of bulk purchases through the people who do the book fairs, and they just say, hey, give me $10,000 worth of books, and then, you know, in comes George and these other books. But anyway, so here's what happened. We're going to end up getting sued over over those book reviews, and we're going to get sued for two reasons. One is Moore County Schools, let me say this, Moore County Schools is going to get sued over those book, and it's not because those books needed to be removed. You know, the reason Moore County Schools is going to get sued over those book removals is, and this is going to be a big issue, is because the way it was done, the way this school board chose to do it, where a board member challenged it. I mean, we're supposed to be the adjudicators. We're supposed to be the final impartial adjudicators. And how could we say we're the final impartial adjudicators? Well, we're the ones who initiated the challenge ourselves. That's nonsensical. The challenges needed to come from a member of the public. But not only is that a fatal flaw, but the other fatal flaw, which will ensure the inevitable lawsuit from the ACLU wins, is that members of the school board made prejudicial comments in open session and other places, which will make a lawsuit against us a slam dunk. So I suspect that the lawsuit's prepared, and I suspect that it will be filed to do the most damage at the most inopportune time. It'll be timed with the election, so it comes up. And my guess is, when or if this lawsuit's filed, that you're going to see most of the school board resign because they cannot defend their position given the statements that they made. So anyway, if nothing else, I'm running for school board for continuity, because when this inevitable lawsuit comes, most of the school board's going to be gone, and I predict that's going to happen before the fall election. But let's look at other challenges facing Moore County Schools. We have a retention, not a retention problem, like most schools, we have shortages in personnel. We have shortages in teachers, we have shortages in SROs, and we have shortages in bus drivers. And guess who's in charge of that committee? Do they have a person on there who's created hundreds of jobs and has run large corporations and has hired and fired dozens of people? Do they have someone on there like Mr. Benway, who's worked on, or myself, who's worked on large military staffs or worked in the military and understands recruiting? No. The chair of that committee is Ms. Davis, who has never hired a single person in her life. So how are you going to fix recruiting problems when the board member that the chair put in charge of that has never hired, fired, or recruited a single person? All these personnel challenges are easily solved. Teachers, you know, the problem is we're not doing the right marketing. With the correct marketing and the right messaging, we could easily fill our teacher vacancy. We could certainly easily fill our SRO vacancies. And our bus drivers would be a bit more of a challenge. Maybe I can discuss these three in detail another day, but we could clearly easily solve our personnel issues. Moving on, so one is, I'm running for re-election to fix our personnel issues. Two is construction. Again, we have $350 million plus dollars worth of construction. And I would ask, you know, what is my opponent? Has Kelly Davis been on the radio?
I don't know.
No one's ever seen this. She doesn't even show up to the polls to work. Nobody knows. Kelly Davis is, I heard her speak, and her experience is, I work at a mortgage someone asked her experience in finance dealing with, you know, Moore County Schools is operational is $160 million a year. And my opponent, I work at a mortgage processor, didn't even say she's a mortgage processor. I'm unclear whether she owns the company or she sweeps the floor. But her response is, I have an associate's degree and I am, you know, I work at a mortgage processor. I mean, I'm happy for her, but that does not qualify her to run a $160 million a year operational budget company and do $325 million worth of construction.
Seems like I heard somebody say that about the sheriff's department.
Right. I mean, it's all the same. Well, we need business-minded people, but let's look at the construction committee. The construction committee, as you know, I think you know, we had a joint session with the county commissioners a few weeks ago, and just a couple things. So the current person in charge of the construction committee, Ms. Caldwell, she doesn't even want to be in charge of the construction committee. She's like, well, I guess I'll do it.
Duck out of water.
Well, you know, her qualifications, the chair said, oh, she's a real estate agent. She's qualified. No, being a residential real estate agent does not qualify you to be in charge of $350 million worth of commercial
right. construction.
And I'm building an industrial park kind of as a hobby in Ashley Heights. But let me tell you what we're up against there. You know, Bentway says nothing's changed if nothing's changed. And that's my frustration. We made all kinds of change. We made all kinds of reforms, but we're back to where we were 3 years ago. And there's no better example than construction. After this board took power, I said we need to recompete these $10 million worth of gym things. And we recompeted and went from a three-year project, 3 years and $10 million to rent it to do HVAC and three gyms. We got that down to 1 year and $2 million. And we made huge strides, huge reforms. But let's look at where we're at on construction. So we have a disinterested chair who said, I like Stacy, but she's like,
well, some people just don't know how to get started.
Well, here's the problem, Steve, and you'll relate to this. We're back to where we were. SFLA Architects is firmly entrenched. We're hiring, you know, right here, 44 and these 44 accomplishments. Some of this is we hired consultants. We are going down the same path that resulted in those overpriced gold-plated schools, the exact same architects, the exact same process, the exact same everything. And that is not acceptable. We did not
fight
for this reform.
20% if we just build them ourselves.
Well, we demonstrated we could save 70% by the correct scope of work and doing it correctly, but we certainly, I've talked about this before, but when we were building Pinehurst Elementary, Aberdeen Elementary, and Southern Pines Elementary for between $33 million and $35 million each, in Darlington, South Carolina, as the crow flies, during the exact same time they were building the exact same 800-seat schools for $20 million each. They literally did it for 40% less.
There you go.
But this board, but this board isn't going to do it. They need someone with my experience and my willingness to speak up, because we are right back to where we were 3 years ago, and that's not acceptable.
All right, David Hensley running for school board reelection. Now you're informed, and you can make an informed decision. For the rest of you, so it goes for this Wednesday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a Thumping Thursday. Until then, be sure to support the advertisers you hear on WEEB, because they're the backbone of our economy here. When you give them first crack at your spending dollars, about 68% of it stays here, rolls over, and creates jobs, and doesn't end up in China, Sri Lanka, and Indonesia by going the other direction. And don't forget, if you want your business to have more customers, well, you got to advertise. And the most effective form of that is talk radio. Give us a call, and we'll prove to you why. All right, that's it for me, the leader man, Nick and Colt the dog. We'll see you this afternoon at the dog park.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay. Class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North.